I would like to talk today about the journey from idealism to realism. It's a cryptic matter, it's a secretive matter, but you will see, you will discover yourself in the lecture a few times, and you will smile and you will cry. Because that journey, let us say, our spiritual life always starts with realizing a sweet promise that by doing certain things or by obtaining certain blessings, we will certainly very soon experience the spiritual dimension in our life. And we, in the beginning, are called by this promise. We mobilize a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, but then somewhere during the journey we confront our very real humanness, that means our weaknesses and so on, and we at that time have to reconsider many things. So I will talk about this a little, and I hope I will reach your hearts and your minds as well. So let us sing just Jai Radha Madhava, and then Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadra Ji Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadra Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadra Ji Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadra Ji Minya Soda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Vana Chari Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Radhe Radhe Shyam, Oh Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, 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 Jai Radha, Shyam Sundara, Shyam Sundara, Shri Radhe. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paskajade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam we find a very interesting lila. Interesting because it tells us something about our own future in our spiritual life, hopefully. We hear that once Nanda Maharaj, the father of Lord Krishna, was taking an early bath in the Jamuna, and it was at an inappropriate time. In spiritual India, they tell you that during the night one should not bathe in tanks of water, either river or ponds, because they are considered to be sleeping at that time, and bathing would be an impolite act of disturbing their dream. When I was staying during the month of Kartik at the sacred banks of Radhakund, once a large party of our ISKCON devotees came, and because they had delayed in their Govardhan Parikrama, it took them much longer than expected, they arrived at Radhakund at 10 o'clock in the evening and took their bath around 10:30. And because I was residing there, I was requested to say a few words about Radhakund to these 2,000 devotees or so. And the next morning, the serious people of Radhakund, the pandits, came to me and said, "How could you allow that at such a time a bath would be done?" And I said, "I thought the Kund is open all day and all night for bathers." And they said, no, it's known that you should not disturb the holy places at night because their personalities, they are resting." So Nanda Baba took his bath at around 2 o'clock in the morning, and because this was considered to be an inappropriate time, the servants of Varuna arrested Nanda Baba and brought him to the watery kingdom of the Lord of the Waters, Varuna Dev. Those who were with Nanda Maharaj saw how Nanda entered the Yamuna but did not come out again. And they suspected that he had been drowned. They had no idea that he was kidnapped. Krishna was called, and Krishna immediately went through that special pathway, it's described, into the kingdom of Varuna and announced his coming by blowing into his conch shell. And this very strong sound of Lord Krishna's conch shell was going all over the kingdom. Varuna was thinking, "Who has come to challenge my authority?" And Krishna was thinking, I have come to chastise my servant Varuna. So when Varuna heard that Krishna had come, he immediately gave him a royal reception, and he kept his prisoner of Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, just next to him on a respectful throne. But when Krishna came into the reception hall in the kingdom of water, Varuna bowed down and said, my lord, I'm very happy that you have come, and before you start to speak, I immediately give you your father back. If I may say so, you have taken an incarnation to bless everyone on earth, but we here in the water kingdom are bereft of your association. So kindly forgive. I took your father just to have your darshan, really. So Krishna took his father back, and he didn't say much to Varuna, because Krishna becomes very hesitant to show his mercy to anyone who separates his devotees from him. But Krishna is very merciful to those who increase the strength of faith in the devotees, so that his devotees can turn to him more lovingly. And he says so in this word, the preachers are very dear to him because they turn people to Krishna. But Varuna had taken a devotee away from Krishna, so Krishna didn't speak much. But Nanda Maharaj spoke much. When he returned to Vrindavan, he overflowed with praise, and he said, my dear people, come. When the Lord of the Master saw our Kanhaiya, that's a nickname, an affectionate name the Brijbasis use for Krishna, they paid their obeisances, and Varuna, the Lord of the Water, was freely glorifying the Lord and did an arati underwater to Krishna. Yes, these are other dimensions. It's possible. So, I don't know who's my Krishna, that the powerful demigods pay their obeisances. And as he was talking like this, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan thought that Krishna for us is a cowherd boy, and sometimes there's a report that he's stealing our butter. We can't see him as anyone, as our darling neighbor who lives with us in the same village. But if Varuna, the powerful demigod of the water, pays his obeisances, maybe he's someone else. And they were curious to find out about their destination after death. See, in an enlightened society, one knows that this life is only there for a flash of a second, and the afterlife is more important, because this life is only seen as a preparation for that. No? So what is more important, your preparation for marriage or your marriage? Maybe a difficult question, but on an easy level to answer this is, a marriage takes much more time than the preparation, therefore is more important. So this life is seen only as a preparation for the much vaster life after this life. There was this natural question: if Krishna is special and we are associating with Krishna, where will we go after this life? This question is very important. I don't know if you think sometimes of this: where will I go when I leave this body? Will I go into, will I become a butterfly in Alachua, or will I become a Gurukul child, or will I go back home, back to Godhead, or will I see some other planets or what. So they were thinking like this. And Krishna, knowing their thought, wanted to give them an insight. He took them with him to the bank of the Jamuna. It's called, I think, the Jamuna Hrada. And he asked them to take a bath in that part of the Jamuna. Jamuna was a little broad and formed a lake there. So he asked them to take a bath there. And when his dear servants and dear associates, the Brajbasis, came out of the waters of the Jamuna, he said, "Now look, that's where you will go." And all of a sudden, they saw a mass of light, Satyam Jnanam Anantam, full of truth, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. And as they looked into this overwhelming mass of light, they saw inside this light a planet which looked like a lotus flower. It was Goloka Vrindavan. And as they entered into this vision, they saw the Jamuna like it was in Bhumi Vrindavan, you know, Boma Vrindavan, where they stayed. They saw Govardhan, and they saw the same Krishna, and they saw themselves associating with Krishna. So they understood, after this life, we will go even beyond the Brahman. We will go to a place in the spiritual world, and we will be together with our Krishna. What is here will be there. They saw this, and their faith in Krishna increased. They thought, "Oh God, good that after this life we will not see some Vishnu. Good that we see Krishna, who has captured our hearts, who is more endearing to us than even Vishnu." They saw like this. So the promise of our Krishna consciousness movement is, if you associate during this life with Krishna in the form of his holy names, which we chant, in the form of the Bhagavatam, if you continue to associate with Krishna in the form of his deity, and the prasadam which the deity leaves for you, if you continue to associate with him in the holy dham and through his dear devotees, then you will go just like the Brijbasis back to Krishna, back to Goloka Vrindavan. This is the promise. Madhusudan, slayer of doubts. This is a promise. Associate during this life with Krishna in these five ways, which we have learned in our seminar. I mean, we have not sufficiently and to the end learned about it. We just tasted something about it. And then, at the end of this life, you will go back home, back to Godhead, with certainty. Prabhupada uses this word, certainty. It's a sure promise. I think we all feel moved to some degree by this promise. Here it is. And we also feel challenged by this promise. In philosophy, at least that's what we learn in Germany, I hope it's right in America also, when you pursue your ideas, then this is called, your philosophy is called idealism. You have the highest concepts, like I have now introduced one of those, back to Godhead in one lifetime. That's an ideal, that's a very high goal. And opposed to idealism, you find the realism. I've looked in a German dictionary and I've translated this. The attitude, here's a definition, the attitude or practice of accepting a situation as it is and being prepared to deal with it accordingly is called realism. Like, the summit was marked by a new mood of realism. Realists will also always say, be real. Back to Godhead in one lifetime. ISKCON is not full of success stories of this. And they will confront the idealist. They will say, idealism is the practice of forming or pursuing ideas, and it is very often unrealistic. For instance, the idealism of youth. All young people think, I don't know if you were ever young and thought the same, we can change the world. Have you thought like this? And when you're old, you are the world. You know, when you're young, you think, well, look at the old devotees, they are all, they have become so-called realistic. And when you are older, you are also like that. So, my dear devotees, I request you now, I will challenge a little bit your intelligence now. I mean, a little, I think you're much more intelligent than I shouldn't say it like this. I want to make you think a little bit. See, in the beginning of your spiritual life, one is interested only in spiritual life. I used to be so enthusiastic that in the cold German summer, it's also cold in the summer, but I wanted to say the cold German winter, I thought, I'm an eternal soul, I do not need any shoes because I'm not the body. And you know, the winter in Germany is not like the winter in Florida. You have the snow like this, you know, and sometimes 2 meters. Yes. So I thought, I'm not the body. But this was blind idealism, I would say. But after some time, one became aware of the practical reality, and the snow became cold and the feet also. Because one was hit by the fact that one's ideal concepts, that one is can function in this world as a pure soul, that was hit by reality. No, come on, in the winter it's cold, and if you don't dress, you get cold feet and cold bodies and feel sick. In the beginning, we are often very much enthusiastic. We want to orient our life in purely spiritual terms. We want to chant, we want to go on Sankirtan, we want to use every little hour or second of our time for purely spiritual purposes. But older devotees often asked one question: how can I situate myself in this life so that I don't kill myself? The ISKCON experience shows that we can't burn flesh and renounce all what we thought we were. We have to address this. We can't just run away and so on. So often devotees in their lives get into a conflict. Previously they were so enthusiastic, and so I would say now from my perspective, blindly idealistic, but now they have to, it seems that this doesn't work, and they have to take more care of the body and the mind and all these things which we didn't want to take care. And they flip from one extreme to the other. My suggestion is be idealistic and remain idealistic for the goal, and become realistic for the way. That will bring you to a healthy and spiritual realism. be idealistic about the goal, what you can become by the practices of Krishna consciousness, and be realistic for the way. That means practice according to your adhikar, your present level of qualification. Krishna himself says, being fixed in the position for which one is qualified is virtuous. The opposite, that is, accepting a position for which one is unqualified, is irresponsible and considered impious. This is the definite conclusion. So maybe in the beginning one thinks unrealistically about oneself, and one doesn't take enough care to situate oneself properly in a situation where one can function healthily. In Lord Krishna, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, gives us a very realistic way back home, back to Godhead, a way which different steps, so to say, and according to your qualification, it is said, you should situate yourself on one of these steps. If you do this, and if you situate yourself in a life which is natural for you, as you presently are, you will easily come and develop the qualifications for the next step. First step is develop knowledge about Krishna consciousness. Second step, according to Krishna, is start to meditate about it. Internalize it, absorb it, think what it means for you. Then slowly start from the knowledge platform, you know, where you develop knowledge and where you internalize knowledge and start to act. Renounce the fruits of your work. Be situated in the self. And then the next step is work for Krishna. Do something for Krishna. Be busy. After this is start to adopt rules and regulations which can help you to advance in your spiritual life. If you are at the moment not able to chant 16 rounds, then chant 12 rounds which are good, or 8 rounds which are good. Fix yourself according to your qualification, because more qualification will come when you do this. Then you come to the first step of Krishna's letter, to always think of Krishna and never forget him. If you want to read all this, you can go into the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and find out where you are. I think it is very, very good in our spiritual life if we assess our present level of qualification and then situate ourselves on that level and from there progress very nicely. But if you jump ideally to out of idealism to a level where you are not at home, you will lose your ground on that level and sink down more and more and more. So better to situate yourself on the level which is appropriate. Then Krishna will come and he will show, oh look, that's where you're going. You're now associating with me. No matter on what level you are, you can, and this is maybe a surprise for you, you can practice the process of bhakti, which is to hear about Krishna as much as possible and then to remember Krishna and sing his holy names. These two things, hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and singing his glories in kirtan, are the prime angas of bhakti, and you can do them out of Krishna's special mercy on any level which you are. Parallel to this, you have to find a situation in your life which is good for your level of for where you are on your own spiritual evolution. Finally, in parting, I want to give your community a gift of a mango. You may say, well, we are so many, Maharaj, you have to give us 100 or 1,500 mangoes. We are a community with 1,500 members. But you will see very soon that this mango is enough for all of you. It will even last your whole life. Please listen very carefully. Once there was an ashram in a forest which was built by an old Swami. He had gone there in the midst of the forest and he had constructed a simple dwelling. At that time there were many thieves and criminals living in the forest, but the old Swami was just so fearless. Even tigers didn't frighten him, and he built a little ashram. Then, because of his purity, more and more people joined him. Then it became a rather large ashram, and then they built a temple for the villagers who lived nearby to come. So my little story is about this ashram and a wonderful transformation. What had happened in the ashram is what happens in larger communities of people. The dealings between the people became a little impersonal because there was just so many people and so much to do and so on, and so little time for personal relationships. So one morning, this is where my story starts, there was a knocking at the gate of the ashram, and the chokidar, the guard, opened. And a thankful, simple-looking farmer stood there and said, "My dear brother chokidar, you are the best. Every day you are opening this gate so that I can go inside and visit the temple where I have darshan of Radha and Krishna. Today I have decided to give you the best mango from my mango tree. Please, you take it as a sign of my gratitude." And the farmer gave the surprised chokidar his mango, embraced him, and went back to his fields. So the chokidar thought, "Wow, he's so personal and he gives me a mango. It smells even nice. No one has given me a mango since my 15 years where I stay here. But wait a minute, this mango doesn't really belong to me. I should give it to the founder of the ashram, that old Swami, Swamiji, who has that hut at the river." And he came and he knocked at the door. "Oh, Swamiji, you are very nice. You have given us this wonderful ashram. I realized this today, how grateful I am actually to you. Here, as a sincere token of my gratitude, please take this mango." And he gave him the mango. Swamiji thought, "Well, this is the first time since 10 years that someone expresses his gratitude to me. Wonderful. Well, I don't really need to eat a mango. I mean, there is this sick monk. Monkji, this brahmachari is already 3 days, not 3 days, 3 months sick. He needs a little vitamin C. So I will go to him today and give him the mango." And he came to the sick brahmachari and said, "Sick brahmachari, hey, here is a little vitamin C. You get your mango today." The brahmachari thought, "Wow, I thought he doesn't care for me because I'm sick and cannot give any service. But he came in my illness and gave me this mango. It even smells nice. And he became all emotional. Oh, wonderful. This is more than a mango, this sign of gratitude. I'm already feeling some new energy. I give this mango to the cook who is cooking every day an oat porridge for me. Sik prasadam. So he gave that mango to the cook and said, I'm so grateful. And the cook thought, well, someone is grateful, wonderful. This is very good, and he gave it. It's an unlimited story. It goes for 12 months out of a year. You have to tell it, but I will make it short. He gave it to the devotee who chants every day, to Govinda, who chants every day 64 rounds. And Govinda thought, I'm so fallen, but someone is grateful to me. And he gave it to the neophyte man, and the neophyte man thought, wow, what an ashram. Here they are so personal and so grateful. I'm getting a mango. I will stay here for the rest of my life, and I will give this mango to the guard on the door who let me in. The recycled mango. You will also get this recycled mango in a moment. This mango will immaterialize as you listen to the end of the story. And then hopefully be many years in this community and recycle there. So, yes, the Chokidar gets the mango and he said, my God, I know this mango. This is the mango which I received from the farmer early in the morning. And I gave it to Swamiji. What did Swamiji do with the mango? And so he went to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, this mango, Swamiji says, yes, this mango, I gave it because really what was more important for me than the mango was that you so openly and lovingly shared your gratitude. That has nourished me more than anything. So the Chokidar then understood the journey of the mango by his intelligence. He understood that the Swami had given it to someone else, and that someone else felt as enlivened as he had felt when he received it from the farmer. And in this way it had gone through the whole ashram and come back to him. And he took that mango and he understood, this mango is a special mango. It's the mango of gratitude. He cut it, he offered it, and when he offered it, and it was offered, there was a knocking at the door, and one after the other, the whole ashram appeared at his door. There was Swamiji, there was the ill Brahmachari, there was the cook, there was Govinda, who thought himself fallen and chanted so many rounds, and there was the neophyte who had decided to join. They all said, we hear there is a mango of gratitude, and they all ate from this mango of gratitude for the rest of their lives. I really feel this is something which you can practice in this ashram. This mango of gratitude is something immaterial. It is something which comes from the depths of a grateful heart. I think as I'm a guest here in your community, it's such a wonderful community. A wonderful community of such, let me first say, such interesting people. And then let me address it on a more spiritual level. So such searchers, such devotees, such people who are on their own path. It's a community which works. The way to God is never the way of the masses. Each one has an individual, small path, as the Upanishads say churasya dhara. It's the sharp, the path for self-realization is as sharp as a razor's edge. Very small. It's individual. The noisy crowds won't all go all together. It's always you who have to make an individual relationship with Radha Shyam Sundar. But as this happens, let us not forget the nourishing community around us, which can help and inspire us, and in this way become helpful on our individual journey. I request you to keep this mango in your heart, and if you have not already done so, give today a mango to someone, or express your gratitude to someone in a spiritual way, that they are with you on this, supporting you in your individual journey back home, back to Godhead. And I think this mango of gratitude will last long, because the more you give, the more you have in spiritual life. The more you give care and attention and help to others, the more you receive it yourself. This is a fact. So I think if we want to translate the earlier part of the lecture, which expressed a little bit about the conflict of idealism and realism, we want to translate that, always remain idealistic in the goal, but no, realistically, only those who have good sangha, good inspiring association, can make it in their spiritual journey. Therefore, the mango of gratitude, which forms such a sangha, that is very important. Hare Krishna. This is hard. Good. What do we do next? Prasadam is now? Yes. Should we? What? Maybe a brief kirtan, just very brief, with German timings. This not so long. Stop in 7 minutes. Yes. Hare Krishna. It's a melody from Badahari Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Oh!
loudly in one voice, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
kindly sit down peacefully, if possible. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Krishna Balara, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara, Shama Sundara. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara, Shama Sundara, Shama Sundara. Jai Om Vishnu. So Hare Krishna, I thank you very much. I wish you now a very good appetite for your Sunday feast. It is waiting for you, and I hope to see you very soon again. And by that time, you should all have a very wonderful building built, a building which is waiting. You have the construction materials. It's called the Temple of the Heart. May you be successful in this very important construction work. Hare Krishna.
바로 쓰다.